Snack Bar Games Podcast. And welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 244. It's part one of our big end-of-year discussion. And this time we're going to be going through the year and talk about the highs and occasional lows of 2012. Andrew.
Hi there.
You are running the show for this episode.
I am. So, we should probably introduce who's here because...
Oh, yes. Right.
There are others here. It's not just us.
The usual suspects, Chris and Chris.
The two Chrises.
Two out of three Chrises.
Two out of three Chrises are here. We got Henry, we got Jeff, and we got Sean, as always.
Yes.
If we're gonna do this discussion and handle it in a kind of organized fashion, as organized as we can get. I think we should go console by console. I think that'd be best. And since I'm looking at it, although we've already covered it kind of a lot, but you know, we just briefly touched upon it. Let's talk about the Wii U again.
Sure.
You know, it's been a few weeks. It has. Yeah.
Wii U Spectacular. Let's talk about all the games that have come out since launch.
Yeah, like what was that? ESPN Sports Connection.
That was launch.
Yeah. Oh, that was launch. Oh man.
What has come out since launch?
Okay. So we got the port of 007 Legends. the Rayman Legends demo.
Rayman Legends demo, you know, Wii U game
big,
of the year.
Big, yeah.
Yeah.
Second place, the Rayman Legends kiosk demo that has one fewer level.
Yes.
You guys finally got an actual date for Rayman, too, didn't you, in the last Nintendo Direct?
Yes.
Yeah.
February 26th.
Yep.
The same day that BioShock Infinite was supposed to come out. But
it had to run away. Can't get lost in the Rayman craziness.
Yeah, I know.
And then to make up that they pushed Pikmin 3 to like June.
I think it's just cute. I don't think it has a
They didn't push it. They picked it up and they threw it.
They threw a few of them, and then one of them landed on the correct date. We just don't know it yet. But yeah, so I mean, everyone who has a Wii U, I think that's me, that's Chris, Jeff, Graham, and Sean. I haven't used it as much as I did obviously in the first couple of weeks because you know there were more games to play. I'm still playing a little Zombie U here and there. I played, you know, Sonic and All-Stars Race and Transformed, which is amazing.
Yes.
It's pretty great,
I am so excited for that game, but I'm probably going to get the Vita version just because, I can just play it on the go.
You can play the Wii U one on the go, too.
You can.
As long as the go is worth the foot snaps.
Well, as long as you have, an outlet in your car.
Just have a huge battery attached to it. I remember the GameCube, there was this third-party accessory that was included, that it was like an attachment that supported the screen add-on. So if you put a portable screen on top of the GameCube and then a battery pack underneath it, and there you go, you've got a portable GameCube.
Until it exploded.
It would be very fun until then.
I had one of those, and... Yeah, mine didn't explode. A lot of them exploded. Mine melted. The only problem was if you put the battery on a surface.
Based on our experience so far, the Wii U does not explode, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, I don't think
so. But just to be safe, don't put it on top of any Microsoft pads.
Yes, no surfaces.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay,
let's get to actual words.
Yes, no more GameCube talk. I think we had a whole episode of that, didn't we?
One soon.
Yeah. I'm sure we have five.
GameCube is awesome.
GameCube is awesome.
But let's talk about the Wii U and how about each of us that has one? How about we talk about our favorite experience with the Wii U?
I mean, I was going to mention Sonic and All Stars Racing, but save that for you.
Okay.
I think I will bring up. Both, again, the Rayman Legends demo, legitimately, some of the most fun I've had with the system.
Seriously.
Like, it's really good. Everyone go download it if you have the system. It's awesome. Besides that, I just really like exploring Miiverse. Like, Again, it kind of some of the magic has worn off since the first couple of weeks, because in the first couple of weeks, everyone on my friends list was using it constantly, like every 5 seconds. Well, except for you, yeah. I don't think you even knew where it was, or
something. I've only found it twice.
Yeah, So
you found it, then you forgot where it is.
I did that with the friend list, the actual system friend list.
Yeah, that was like, a little.
That one's tricky to find.
Yeah,
I've been in that more than I've been in Miiverse.
It's the button to the right of that.
They're right next to each other. On the okay, so now we know Sean's favorite moment is they're trying to find Miiverse. Mine is actually using Miiverse, and I don't know. It's really cool. It's like it's different. Yeah. It's Nintendo's approach to the whole, you know, their whole online thing that doesn't involve friend codes, and it's actually interesting. And I don't see Sony or Microsoft approaching anything like this, because I just don't see Microsoft kind of trouncing out on stage with a new system saying, oh, and you can draw pictures and send friends. Although that would be hilarious. But
yeah. Hey, you wouldn't think they would have rolled out Miis, but...
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's going to happen is that Microsoft is really, really going to try as hard as they can to play up that smart glass. And they knew that the Wii was coming, and this is... there's sort of answer to it, but I don't think it's not as good as having it built into the system.
To be fair, do we really want to see what Xbox Live will draw?
No.
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 Yeah.
No. I don't want to.
Very good point.
Okay seeing the Call of Duty Black Ops 2 Miiverse on Wii U, but to see that on the next Xbox, that I don't
know.
Yeah. But yeah, I have to say that even though I've only been in Miiverse twice, I like how it's there. It's so clean. It's like a nice, clean, white, pristine wilderness on the internet.
It's clean in both terms of the actual design and the fact that Nintendo is pretty strict about what you can post there. So
yeah,
it's good. I haven't seen too many bad things. Let's just say
I haven't seen any, but that's because I've been there twice.
Also, also a warning.
Hey, how many times have you been there, Sean?
Twice.
How many times have you brought up on this podcast that you've only been there twice?
Three times.
Okay. The ability to mark spoilers is nice, too.
Oh, yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew, you mentioned the magic's kind of worn off a bit. I think what'll happen is every time a new game comes out, it'll just be this great place for you to gather, like, at least the first, like, week or so when you're, like, playing a game and you, like... I think especially with people like us, like, we're like, a game came out, I'm really excited to talk about it. And you can... I guess you can tweet about it, but, like, you know, 95% of those people aren't playing and are just kind of mad at you for talking about it. But in this, it's like everybody's like, Rayman Legends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine Animal Crossing Wii U. What'll happen to Miiverse with Animal Crossing Wii U?
That'd be awesome.
That seems like that's would push that over the edge.
I really hope that you can draw things and then have them be the patterns.
Yes. No, what they're gonna do is they're just gonna make you use the buttons again.
Screen pulse.
Yeah, they're just gonna make you use the buttons again, and it'll be they'll forget that the Wii U has a touchscreen.
Okay. That seems very likely that Nintendo will get their own system.
But I think another thing is that kind of prompted the popularity of it, for at least in terms of the people on my friends list, is most everyone I know got New Super Mario Bros. U on the Wii U. And that game, like, prompts you pretty consistently, like, so, you lost 10 times in this level. Tell everyone how you feel. Or, hey, you finally beat this level. How do you feel? You know? And I think more games should do that.
Yeah.
And I especially think we'll see that with Nintendo releases, so.
That also might be a factor of the developers not knowing
how
Miiverse would be shaped. Zombie U would probably do that in a heartbeat if you get away with it.
Well, I mean, but they kind of do, because they have some messages that you could find in game, and also, you know, there's the whole I guess this isn't connected to Miiverse, but the whole thing where if you put someone's on your friends list and they die in a certain spot in the game, you'll find them as a zombie in your game. So there's some of that connects to your friends list. But yeah, hopefully maybe if the game gets a sequel, we'll see more expanding on that. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see where developers go with that whole concept. I mean, it's a brilliant idea in terms of game design.
I hope it doesn't happen again where Nintendo's really the only one that can capitalize on the hardware.
because we've seen that happen quite often. Like, no one denies that Nintendo has these awesome ideas, but it would be really nice if a third party sort of outdid Nintendo on their own hardware. I don't know if that'll happen, but I'd kind of like to see that.
Like with like the 3DS or the DS especially and the Wii, it would probably take some time. There'll probably be some lag there, but
yeah.
So, Graham, your favorite experience?
Yeah, so it's Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed is pretty great. I think my favorite thing is the fact that you can go through that. From what I can tell, the entire campaign in 5-player local.
Nice.
And like,
that is pretty
look,
awesome.
Look, that campaign, like, if there's anything you can knock about that game, is that the campaign gets super brutal.
Yes, it does.
It, like, you can play everything in easy, but then you just don't unlock a lot of the campaign. And if you can, if you can beat it in medium, then generally you unlock most of the campaign.
Mm-hmm. But you, yeah, once you get to the very, very last set of levels, you need to start playing on harder difficulties.
Yeah. But and, so the whole thing is, like, if you're playing on a super hard difficulty, then it's one of those things, I get hit by an item, then I'm, you know, screwed at the end. But if you have 5 of the racers, just one of them has to win.
Yeah.
That's
It's like cheat.
It's best ball. It's fine.
One guy up front, 4 behind him, just running interference.
Yeah. That could be, okay, I might have set that up. Just like 4, yeah. Like,
guys, be my shield. I'm going for it.
Strategy.
Cover me.
Like, all right. You guys just sit back there and just get bees. And then I'll tell you when I'm not in first, and then you can use the bees. That might be worth it. That might work. Anyway, but also, like, just the fact that, like, I didn't really explore a lot of them at the beginning, but once the patch went out and fixed some of the spawning on the Wii U version, the multiplayer modes are really varied and kind of nice.
Yeah.
And the Wii specific ones are weird, but whatever. It's fun to play occasionally. But that game, I was looking forward to that game, but I was not expecting that game to be as, like, polished in basically all ways as it is.
Yeah.
Still holding out for Ristar DLC for that game.
He's in every race.
Yeah, he's there. You just can't actually race with him, but you know.
Yeah. He's just there.
He's there. He's the flag. He's the flag guy. You know, he says, "Hey, you're passing. You're passing me. Now you're finishing the race." You know, that's the flag guy. I will say, it's weird seeing him in 3D. It is kind of weird, but besides that, it's really cool to see him in the game.
Yeah.
But you know, they turned Knights into a car. I don't really get that. But, you know, maybe
at least you're seeing Knights at all, right?
Yeah, because he wasn't in the first game.
And he was the flag man.
He's the flag man.
Hey,
I assume Knights is a he. I don't know. You know,
I thought Knights was like something like not even.
Yeah, genderless at best.
Something. Yeah.
It.
Either way. Knights.
Knights is Knights.
Yeah, Knights.
And you have to find a way to pronounce it so that only the I is lowercase.
Knights.
We are the Knights who say Knights.
No, I can't.
No, we're not gonna hurt ourselves anymore. Alright, so
I can't.
Alright, so Jeff, favorite Wii U moment.
I'd have to agree with Miiverse.
Yeah.
Woo!
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm saying you're yaying it.
It's great from an outsider's point of view, it's great to hear that that Miiverse is doing so well, because I know Nintendo is way behind in terms of online community coming into this, and people were a little concerned when they had the E3 trailer and ended it with Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
But it seems like nothing but I'm hearing nothing but positive stuff about it so far. It's great.
They definitely have some things to work out, but so far, in terms of just the actual Miiverse itself, and the functionality.
Yeah.
It's important to remember that Miiverse is not trying to be a standard online community, nor does it have any of those features.
Yeah.
But as a completely separate thing, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, just don't try to manage friends lists or.
Yeah, like there's a few things that are a bit awkward with the censoring, such as if you put a Twitter handle in your profile, the administrator will make it private.
Yeah, don't they do that with all links, or is it just
anything? Referring to other internet sites.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so Sean, besides not finding the Miiverse, what's your favorite Wii U experience?
Probably still the Nintendo Land Adventure Train.
just the Adventure Train. You love that train.
I do. It's a lot of fun because I can get my whole family together to play 5-player games on there. Yeah. And then we see who is the best at the mini games.
Here's the thing. We had to make a correction on the site, and maybe I didn't get back to you. It's not called the Adventure Train.
What's it called?
Attraction Tour is the name of the thing. It is not adventure, nor is it a train.
There's train tracks.
It felt like an adventure, Tim, on a train. So
it did. Felt like an adventure, and it's on train tracks. What else are you gonna call it?
We just can't make that mistake twice. So
yeah,
it's called Attraction Tour.
Attraction Tour. Attraction Tour, aka Adventure Train. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, next, you're gonna tell me that the console isn't called the Super Wii.
Buddy, we're gonna need to talk to you. I got you a lollipop. Now I'm gonna tell you the bad news.
Uh oh.
This isn't actually a lollipop, I'm sorry.
That's even worse. I was looking forward to that lollipop.
Yeah. Xbox 360, hey. That system still exists, right?
Yeah, so
it does.
Here's the thing I'm gonna say about this year's 360 lineup.
It had a lot of good multi-platforms.
It did.
Yeah.
Did it have many exclusives other than Halo 4?
So
Forza.
With all the other platforms, let's start out by just kind of listing the big releases for the year. The Wii U's a little different because there's basically one day of releases. But so for the 360, the big exclusives this year. At retail, we had Forza Horizon, Dance Central 3, Halo 4, Fable the Journey.
Yeah, Fable the Journey. And probably a couple of other Kinect games like Star Wars.
Steel Battalion.
Steel Battalion, yeah.
Heavy Armor, that's the name of that game. Microsoft didn't release much this year. So.
It does.
Yes, I was getting to the downloadables.
Okay.
But yeah.
I was trying to cheer you up.
Yeah. I'm sure there are a couple other bad Kinect games I'm not naming. But
There are quite a few, yeah.
Yeah, but this year there were more, I think, downloadable Kinect games. On the download front, it was a little better. Fez, definitely. Spelunky.
Spelunky and Dust.
Dust.
Yeah.
And Trials.
Oh yeah, Trials.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah, I did have a pretty good year this year. Not its best year that it's had, but still. Yeah, a lot of great stuff came out on arcade this year.
Yeah, but it's, you know, again, most of it was on other systems. I mean, the exclusives are probably some of the best that the system has seen, at least in the past couple of years. But
I get the feeling. The good exclusives this year seem to be the ones that were secured a few years back.
Took
a long time to get ready. I don't think we're going to see a lot of good XBLA exclusives going forward.
I think the last one is probably the new Behemoth game, which BattleBlock Theater. I think that'll probably be the last. But even then, that probably won't stay exclusive because Castle Crashers didn't. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so the things that were there, though, I think some very interesting games. Dust did not sell particularly well.
Dust was based on what I've played. I haven't played a lot of it, but Dust seems really cool. And I am the one guy who really liked Fez. Well, I mean, people really liked Fez when it first came out, and then everyone forgot it existed except me. I'm still holding on to my Fez notebook. It's awesome. It's not an actual Fez notebook, but it is a notebook in which I wrote everything about Fez in it. So
Fez was really amazing.
Yeah.
Especially, like you said, the writing stuff down and having to draw maps and things.
I mean, I just didn't expect that because it just seemed like a pretty neat platformer with a cool, you know, cool art style and an interesting gimmick. I mean, something that has been done in a couple of other games before, but
yeah.
So anyway, in terms of big games, I think it's just been kind of lackluster. I mean, the big games that have come out have been generally okay, aside from let's just ignore the Kinect. The Kinect is a separate thing now. All those games for the Kinect,
they don't exist.
Yeah, I mean, except Dance Central.
I think probably.
Dance Central
3 is pretty good, you guys.
Yeah. It's as good as Dance Central 2 and 1. So, yeah. At least as good, anyway. But, I mean, like, in terms of, like, the non-connect stuff, I think they've all either met or exceeded expectations in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I just didn't try
very much this year.
Yeah, they kind of just...
They've really changed their focus from exclusives to timed exclusive.
Well, yeah, they had all that Skyrim DLC. I think the new one that just came out is still exclusive on 360 for now. Call of Duty, the Call of Duty stuff, map packs are still, you know, they still continue to be exclusive on Xbox because that's where that game sells the most. So
yeah,
they have that stuff nailed down, but like they basically just realized that at this point of the generation, you know, they have the majority of the audience who plays most of those kinds of games. So they will just continue to focus on getting those people to play those games on that system and not so much on the exclusives outside of the really big ones like Halo. So
yeah. So yeah, Halo, I heard that was Halo's pretty good, you guys.
I really liked it. I'm still not any good at it.
Yeah.
That's okay. You don't have to look good at it to enjoy it.
You haven't gotten better since our last talk?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
In fact, I died even more.
I'm not too great at it either, but yeah, it's more Halo, but it's really solid, and again, it proved that 343 can do Halo. So that alone, I think is worth praising, but, I don't know, I mean, just 360 in general, just, I don't know, okay, decent, not bad, passable.
Yeah.
Are we giving this one?
It was a passable year.
Look,
except in terms of sales, they blew everyone away.
Well, kind of. I mean,
all the consoles had a passable or better year, I think.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Even the DS and PSP.
Yes.
Which is surprising. Yeah,
even the Wii.
Considering their standards, yeah. Well, no, the Wii had a pretty great year.
Yeah, well, it will be passable or better.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be fair, I mean, that's...
Yeah. But I mean...
Rating out of a very shallow pool.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, do we want to, I guess, kind of shifting focus since we brought them up, do we want to briefly talk about DS, PSP, and Wii? Just like, are they worth mentioning? I mean,
yes.
Wii probably, but DS and PSP, this is where I kind of step back because, again...
DS received at least a couple of titles that are worth talking about.
Yeah. So,
and
yeah.
They both had Pokemon in the title, but...
Yes.
Okay. Whatever sells, right?
Hey,
Conquest was really good.
Hey, Diamond Trust of London, you guys.
Oh, there you go.
I did not have Pokemon, but I don't have yet.
Huh?
That did not have Pokemon in the title, as far as I know.
We can add Pokemon. Pokemon Trust of London. There you go.
That's a completely different game. Wow.
It's actually the same game. You just change one sprite. It's really easy.
Yeah, you change, like, the
little diamonds is now... Done.
You're trading Voltorbs.
We just designed
contraband system. Voltorbs. Yeah.
That's a very dangerous field.
Yeah. Better not let the UN inspector catch you with those Voltorbs.
I love that it's still in the real world.
Well, yeah. Oh, Pokemon's okay. Always in the real world. I don't know what you're talking
about. Right, right. I forgot. Clearly. So, I mean... So the DS had three worthwhile games, two of which had Pokemon.
Hey, Devil Survivor 2 was alright.
Oh, right. See, again, this is not my expertise.
Yeah.
I'm not a handheld guy.
Remember, he hates the DS.
Yes, I hate all handhelds.
Except for Vita.
I don't know. We'll get to that.
Shame.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. So considering that, you know, the DS is a system that's basically dead at this point.
Yeah.
It had solid releases, and the kind of releases you could spend the time with, like all of them really were ones you could spend lots of time.
I feel like DS is going to have that longevity. I mean, PS2, I think they made PS2 games up until a few years ago. People were still buying.
They still make
PS2
games.
Yeah, they still make them.
Yeah.
So the DS decent, not bad. Still kind of had a couple games at least. So. Worth mentioning, and same with the PSP. I mean, what were the big PSP games this year? Because again, I don't know. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, wait, I do know.
Yes. Yeah, and it, like the DS, it benefited from having that pure 100% backward compatibility with a new system. you know, personally, I love like the pixel doubling on the Vita. It really looks nice.
Oh, so. Yeah, definitely. I just played like a very brief bit of Growlancer, just like the intro and stuff, and it just looked really nice on the Vita screen.
Yeah,
so.
Especially with some of that like pixel art stuff, which works well for JRPGs, you know, which is kind of what PSP does.
Yeah.
that and I am an air traffic controller airport here at Haneda.
Which, everyone's favorite.
I don't know.
Everyone's favorite. Was that even a download at all?
Yeah. If we get bored in January, I might review that. We'll see. I might catch up on that. But yeah, so that
nothing like the January boredom reviews.
Yep. but yeah, so big releases in the PSP this year. Growlancer Wayfarer of Time. It's pretty good, you guys. So
yeah.
get that game.
Yeah, it better be. I picked it up on your recommendation.
Yeah, pressure's on, I know, but also like it's good, so it's fine. Sean, you'll definitely like it. Andrew, who rejected Trails in the Sky as not time.
Yeah.
I'm less confident about, but I feel like this may be a little more up your alley.
We'll see. It's a series I've always been curious about, so.
I'm with you, Graham, Andrew, I'm with you about Trails in the Sky, so it'll be interesting to see what we go here. You're not alone, man.
Yeah, I know.
So maybe wait to see what Andrew thinks before picking that up, but it's pretty good. And then, yeah, you have Gungnir, the latest Department Heaven game. That one was all right. It's more of a traditional tactical game, but it had some interesting mechanics. And then Unchained Blades was pretty all right.
Yeah, that was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I have to wait for that to come to 3DS, but it should be soon, I think.
January, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's another game to fill that time.
but, you know, so otherwise it was kind of a falling off year for the PSP. In the West, it's kind of been dead since about 2007, so that's understandable. Yeah. That it wasn't a huge release year, but what was there was pretty great.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we, I don't know if we'll see anything in 2013, probably not much, but you know, it's cool that they're like smaller publishers still kind of supporting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we see anything, it'll be download.
Yeah. It's especially strange to see the kind of things popping up now. Because I'm not entirely sure who released I Am an Air Traffic Controller.
the game just released itself.
Kind of. Yeah. I tried to track that down. I'm not sure what's happening there. And then, of course, next year we can look forward to Carnage Heart. Is the latest Carnage Heart on the PSP is getting a localization from Natsume.
Oh, okay.
Are you familiar with Carnage Heart?
I am not.
Is a mech strategy game where you program the mech.
You told me about this.
Yeah, give it a series of logic to control itself instead of actually picking the stuff. That thing, I don't know. We'll see. But
well, I mean, if they released it at any time during the PSP's life, I'm sure it would have sold just as well as it's going to now. So,
well, I don't know. They're really bored, desperate Vita owners who are trying to justify their purchase.
I might be one of them by the time that comes out.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But we can move on. Speaking of a system that didn't have many releases, but what was on it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That thing.
That thing. Not the Wii U.
Like I said, we had a lot of those this year, so you need to narrow that down a little bit.
There
were what, 4 non-LEGO games released for the system this year, and they were all really good.
So let's go down the list, shall we?
Okay. Well, we can't go too much down the list.
The Last Story. Rhythm Heaven Fever, mm-hmm. Mario Party 9.
Nah, I wasn't counting that one.
Kirby's Dream Collection.
That's the other one I was counting.
I'm pretty sure that's it. Lana. A bunch of Neo Geo games.
Does Xenoblade count?
Yeah, you mentioned that. That was the first
last
one.
Last Story?
Oh, sorry. Okay, I must have missed it.
Second one.
Yeah, it said Last Story. I missed that. I heard Last Story. I missed Xenoblade. I just like talking about
Xenoblade. People hear me say Kirby? I said Kirby.
Yes, yeah, Kirby.
Okay. Yes, Kirby.
Okay.
I just assume you always say Kirby.
Fair.
Kirby's implied.
Yeah.
The Kirby is always implied.
The four that I'm counting, the two RPGs, Kirby and Rhythm Heaven Fever. If I had to choose away from my system to bow out for the next generation to come in, those are the four games I want ending my system.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna say this year for the Wii was stronger than last year, but it was.
No. Just
it was almost. It was pretty close.
Okay, so success rate.
Yeah, last year, Skyward Sword. But...
Yeah, last year, Skyward Sword, and there was also another Kirby game. Yeah. Yes.
This year was great for the Wii, despite Nintendo's best efforts.
Right. Oh my. If we did not get those two RPGs, this would have sucked.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You're on Rhythm Heaven.
Yeah, the RPG
awesome.
Is pretty much
yeah. Rhythm Heaven was awesome, and I probably could have been motivated to pick up the Kirby collection, but that is not enough to carry that system for me.
Yeah. But I mean, again, yeah, those two RPGs definitely kept, I think, just in terms of how long both of them are, especially the big ones, Xenoblade, I think that was enough to keep you playing the Wii, keeping it dusted, at least, you know.
And we could talk about which game is better, Xenoblade or The Last Story, yeah. but we disagree on that. So I have the balance. We disagree on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think The Last Story was a more important release, as
yes,
far as
I will agree with
the
that.
Industry goes, because Nintendo let XSEED release that game. They released it, and it is, as I understand it, like the best selling game they've ever released, which is probably not saying much, given that they released like PS2 games in 2008. And released, you know, PSP games in 2011, but and Fishing Resort is still better than Fishing Resort. But I just hope that it's the start of something where they let companies pick up games like that.
Yeah, because I mean, Monolith is working on something new for the Wii U. Who knows what it is?
It's an RPG. So
it will. Yeah, it's probably an RPG. It's not the sequel to Disaster Day of Crisis. I know that for sure. So you know what? It could be. That would be. Yeah.
You mentioned about it being an important release, Graham. I like that point. I would say that these two, Xenoblade and Last Story, are important because for me, it gets me very hyped up for a Wii U sequel for both games. So a Xenoblade 2 or a Last Story 2.
Or even just
so
a
could really capitalize on the
sequel,
hardware.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah, oh yeah. Sure. Something like that with the same teams or whatever. So that gets me excited about their upcoming system. So it's important not just because they're both pretty good, but also for future potential. I agree
Which
with you.
Which is assuming we don't need another fan-driven campaign to get them localized.
Well, let's hope not, because that's exhausting.
Again, I think Graham's point was, hopefully with the XSEED partnership and how successful that was, at least for XSEED, I can imagine that being kind of like the jumping off point for more is for the Wii U.
Yeah. Next time we're just all going to import. It's
yeah. That would be nice. I will say localize is the wrong word. Publish in North America, because I'd be happy with British voice acting for the rest of these releases.
Yeah.
Those are some amazing voice casts.
It's
on both
It's the
of
best
games.
Voice acting. Just stop doing American voice acting. Have you heard any Nippon Ichi game? We don't need American voice acting.
Except no one.
You don't need to keep hearing Johnny on Bosch in every single role.
Yeah.
Look, he's probably a nice guy, but
he is.
Yeah,
but
and
is.
The one voice he does do is actually pretty good. It's so distracting to hear all his characters being exactly the same.
Yeah. He's got the tough voice and the meek voice, and I heard both of them playing the latest Tales of Symphonia game.
I mean, Nolan North can do a British accent. He voiced the.
Well, Nolan North. Friend. Let's be clear. Nolan North in a class by himself.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Nolan.
You can have Nolan North talking to Nolan North, and you don't know that either of them's
exactly.
North. So it's okay.
There are three categories of voice actors that we've been talking about. There are the British voice actors, the American voice actors, and then there's Nolan North. So
yep.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway, Wii was pretty great.
Was pretty great. Yeah, it's surprising. Surprise. I think we should move on to the PlayStation 3.
Ooh.
The other big console.
Now, this was an interesting year for the PS3.
By interesting, do you mean underwhelming?
I think, look
no.
Okay.
Okay, well, all
let's
right.
start as we do by listing things, and I will go to the retail releases, and yes, I will agree with you on the retail releases.
Yes, okay, I misspoke. Okay, continue.
So, retail releases, we have... Let's work backward because I need to remember them. PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, Little Big Planet Karting, Sports Champions 2, we'll leave some of the download re-releases off, and we'll leave the HD collections off. So that's three quarters of their release schedule. Starhawk.
I forgot that was the thing.
Wasn't Twisted Metal this year?
Twisted Metal was February. Can you believe it? I forgot too.
Yeah.
There's a copy of that sitting on my shelf.
That game came out, you guys.
No one ever talks about it anymore.
It wasn't bad either. It was fine. Yeah. You know, it was, you know, it's kind of proved that Twisted Metal is kind of like not something we really need in 2012 anymore. I mean, cool. But, you know, David Jaffe, do something else, please. This is coming from someone who was really excited for this game.
Super excited.
Yeah, I was like, man, Twisted Metal. I love this franchise. Twisted Metal Black, one of my favorite PS2 games. This is going to be great. And it was fine, but I'm just like, I really don't want any more of this now. I'm okay. This is enough Twisted Metal for a lifetime, I think.
I think it was a lot of David Jaffe was done with Twisted Metal.
Oh, yeah, I think.
And then they were like, we need a new Twisted Metal. Like, fans are always like, why aren't you working on a Twisted Metal? So I need to make, it's like the producers. Like, all right, I need to make the worst Twisted Metal.
It wasn't that.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It was just, quite the charm. Besides that, is that it for retail releases for the PS3?
Yes. Tales of Graces.
Yep.
Again,
I liked it.
I didn't like it. But, you know, hey, people liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, I will put that above some of the other games you mentioned also.
I'll put that above all of the first-party retail releases. Then you get to downloadables, where I really think they had a strong year.
Especially compared to the 360 exclusives in terms of downloadables.
Well, yeah, where I think Sony is really investing in getting a lot of those people, and whereas we kind of got the last few pieces from Microsoft this year, and they were good.
Yeah.
I think they're just ramping up a lot of their work on PSN. So, Journey.
Journey, of course. The big one.
Dyad.
Mm-hmm.
Sound Shapes was PS3 and Vita.
Yeah. That counts.
Yeah. The Unfinished Swan.
Papa E.O.
Yeah. Closure.
Closure was pretty cool.
The Tura was interesting. Maybe not good, but interesting.
Interesting.
Papa E.O. kind of, too.
Yeah.
I played through the Tura. It was actually a little bit better than I expected. And it was certainly an interesting implementation of the move.
Right.
And that's something the PS3 really needs right now.
Yeah. And let's see.
Retro City Rampage.
Sure, though that...
That's coming on other consoles, but I don't think we'll see those. I don't think we'll see that this year, maybe?
Well, I mean, PC.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Vita, where I think it's super good on the Vita. Just because the filters look really good on that screen, you guys. so the PS3... Okay, so Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault also came out, that game. Is there anything I'm forget?
I think we covered. I think we covered the big ones.
Tokyo Jungle.
Tokyo Jungle.
Tokyo Jungle.
And Retrograde.
Yeah. And Retrograde. Yes, Retrograde was cool too.
Yes.
So. Okay. Yeah.
So that's a lot of downloadable games that are pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the PSN had a strong year.
And with PlayStation Plus, like they we'll get to the Vita in a second.
Stuff.
Yeah. PlayStation Plus really ramped up.
By free, I mean I've already paid for it, so it's free.
Yeah, but yeah, like they if they're doing if Sony did anything this year, it's definitely besides showing that they cared about downloadable games. Maybe a little too late, but still better late than never. It's the fact that they proved
it's not too late for me. They have a few years ago. The PS3 has become my preferred platform for downloadables just because they handle it so well, and then PlayStation Plus usually get discounts. And just looking back a few years ago to when XBLA started doing Summer of Arcade with Castle Crashers and Explosion Man, and where that has gone since is just crazy.
Yeah, it's shifted so dynamically. It's just
I mean, especially with, like, weird stuff, like Dyad.
Dyad, yeah.
They released that game.
That's
and Tokyo Jungle.
Well, it's even better because that was a full price retail release in Japan. We got it for $15.
Yeah.
That's great.
Which I think is a better value proposition.
Oh, definitely.
But there's definitely a lot of production values in that game. So I can see where that money went. A
lot of content too, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why I say it's an interesting year for the PS3. I don't think the 360 or the PS3 had very strong exclusives years.
No.
I
think the PS3 had more exclusives, and like some of its biggest exclusives were obviously downloadable titles. It's most talked about exclusives. Yeah. So I think PS3 wins out by a small margin this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd put them on top just generally. Yeah. But yeah. I was just thinking from a retail perspective, neither of them – I mean – Halo 4 was there, but like otherwise, I think a lot of Microsoft doesn't really have other franchises. Never mind, but
They have a couple, but yeah, nothing to that level now.
Yeah, they closed down almost all their studios. It seems
Think they have Gears, but that's next year. But,
yeah,
do they have Project Gotham Racing? Is that Xbox?
They do.
Bizarre Creations was it? Died.
Bizarre Creations is no longer.
And before they died, they were sold to Activision. Where they made Blur, it's been dead for a while, but they own Forza. So Forza Horizon, but
yeah, Forza Horizon is basically Project Gotham Racing at this point, except more.
Yeah. Well, no, Sonic and All Stars Racing Transformed is basically.
Yeah, exactly. That's when I think of the natural evolution of that series, I go to Sega characters.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it started out on the Dreamcast.
Okay.
Anyway,
I think Sony was just missing that big game, at least in terms of retail. They were missing that one big game. Like I think they were kind of
Sports Champions 2. I don't know.
True.
Here's the thing: that game's actually not bad. I was late picking that up, but
I mean the first one wasn't bad either.
There's a distinct lack of bocce. No, the first game is magnificent.
Yeah,
and I mean that unironically. That's a great game. But the second game's the sports are less exciting because they're the ones we've seen all the time. But they're anyway, but yeah, no, it just wasn't really a strong year for that big blockbuster. Like basically, they didn't have an Uncharted.
Yeah.
I
was kind of hoping for The Last of Us this year, but then you know after three, I was like, yeah, I don't think we'll see that this year after all. But I think you know next year. I guess if we're just gonna real quick. I just want to look ahead. I think next year it's crazy to think that in maybe just the first half of next year they already have a stronger like first party retail presence than they did all year this year. At least in terms of the big games, like I think they have The Last of Us and they have God of War, you know?
2013 in general was going to be a pretty crazy year. It seems like 2012, I thought, okay, well, there's not a strong year for exclusives because maybe they're getting ready for the next-gen consoles.
Yeah, probably.
It's just a weird coincidence or timing because 2013, the first half, so like you mentioned, seems very strong for both.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, except for games are going to get pushed to 2014. As they always do, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Yeah. I don't want to be disappointed right now.
So before we move on, maybe this would be a good time to talk about multi-platform games.
Sure. Do you want to do that before the Vita? I was going to say.
Just because generally these are 360 and PS3 games, and before
two exceptions. Yeah, three exceptions.
Yeah, okay. I mean, those we'll just talk about separately, but I mean, we haven't talked about PC yet was my point. So let's go through. Okay, I'm gonna do this from memory, and this is gonna be bad. Okay, I'm gonna try to think chronologically. Okay, so we had Final Fantasy 13 2.
Yes.
We had Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
We had Soul Calibur 5.
That was this year.
That was the same day as 13 2. Mass Effect 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Does that get us all the way? I'm just trying to figure out.
It's to March.
I don't want to. Yep. But I think that might actually get us to March. Okay. So, Black Ops 2. XCOM.
You just skipped past here.
So did the games industry.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hi-oh.
Oh,
jeez. Walking Dead, which we'll talk about later.
What about with Spec Ops: The Line? With
Spec Ops: The Line.
Summer Lollipop Chainsaw was summer.
We can't forget Medal of Honor: Warfighter. That was a game.
I can forget it.
I tried to forget. That was a game.
Most everyone did forget that game.
Hey, Retro City Rampage is pretty good.
Yeah. Dogs.
Sleeping Dogs. Yeah. Assassin's Creed 3.
Batman Arkham City was both, right?
But the other versions were last year.
Yeah.
Oh, were they? All right.
Yeah.
Borderlands 2?
Borderlands 2.
Borderlands 2, yes, of course.
And then Mass Effect 3 again.
Again.
In the trilogy.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 3 2?
Yeah, well, Mass Effect 3 and then Mass Effect Trilogy.
Mass Effect 3 2, you guys.
Oh my god, no.
That was a happy
ending. I'll take it.
Time travel.
Oh yeah, please.
This was not how it was supposed to end, so you gotta go back and fix it.
The ultimate retcon.
Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed was pretty good.
Dishonored, I like that.
Yeah, Dishonored.
I liked it.
So, this year had a lot of multi-platform games that were really good. I think to fill the void from the system exclusives, basically.
I think
we could keep naming them, and we'll probably keep thinking of them as we keep talking. But
think it just shows that third parties have moved away from exclusives.
The
market is so split in North America. They don't want to throw all their eggs in one basket.
Why would you, right? Yeah.
Plus, unless you're paid a lot of money.
Plus, yeah. We're going to talk about PCs in a little bit, but like a lot of the PC versions of these games, like generally the past few years, PC versions of console games, even whether they're ports or not,
hey, more games. Dead or Alive 5.
Oh, jeez.
Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Hitman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Far Cry 3.
Resident Evil 6.
Yeah.
Go for that one.
Yeah. Okay. Operation Raccoon City, probably the best Resident Evil game this year.
No, Revelation.
We don't need to talk about that ever again.
but okay.
If we're going to talk about that, we can talk.
Go in and I'll just yell more stuff. Asura's Wrath.
Dragon's Dogma.
Dragon's, yep, that's a game.
There you go. Yeah. All right. I lost my train of thought.
All games that are not Operation Raccoon City. And that automatically gives them a plus.
Okay.
Maybe. So I think it's great that we are seeing better PC versions this year, because I think Sleeping Dogs, both Hitman, Far Cry. Darksiders 2. Darksiders 2.
Right.
Sleeping Dogs.
The Darkness 2.
Skylanders.
Giants. Yeah.
Yes, I didn't want to finish that.
No. Back to Bordeaux.
Yeah. Max Payne 3. I'm just gonna say platform games did pretty good this year. Not as good as last year, maybe because there weren't as many of them. Still
pretty good this year. I think people have really refined their engines now.
Yes.
So that we don't have like issues in the past like we did, like even last year with Skyrim. Mm-hmm. But you were saying the PC versions are rough, but I think like just generally those games are better on all platforms.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No matter what system you play it on, you're probably assuming you were playing a good game, you'll probably have a good experience.
Yeah,
which is great. I'm glad we finally got to that point at the end of the generation. better late than never.
Better late than never. That's right.
Yeah.
I will say that I am looking forward to being able to join you guys in these conversations as more multi-platform games will hopefully be released on the Wii U as well.
Nintendo's doing that thing where they have an HD console now.
Right.
Oh, hey, more. NBA 2K13, FIFA 13, Pro 13, MLB 12 The Show.
Graham, we don't have that much time.
Tiger.
NCAA 13. There you go.
There are more games than we will be able to name on this podcast.
Yes. Let's move on. Let's talk about PC.
PC.
Some good games here.
FTL.
I think
Endless Space.
That's
you were the one person who played Endless Space.
That's true.
I'm pretty sure Jeff did also.
Jeff, did you play Endless Space?
Did you play Endless Space?
A little bit, yes.
Okay.
Two.
It wasn't endless for you. It was endless for me.
Also, Guild Wars 2.
Oh yeah, Guild Wars 2.
Torchlight 2.
Torchlight 2. Diablo 3.
Diablo 3. I don't want to remember that. That's Graham. It's been quickly becoming my favorite. My favorite description of when you just say blankety blank was a game.
It was. It continues to be. I should give it credit.
Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, I still haven't opened my copy of Diablo 3.
Not multi-platform.
Yeah.
He's Origin.
Yeah. Hey, we can talk about that. We can talk about Japanese Japanese game publishers in the West realizing that the PC exists.
Yes.
We have
someone told them about Steam.
And Marvelous USA is putting some stuff on there.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad to see the East series up on Steam. That's just makes way too much sense.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like maybe Carpe Folger's a little sad because they just had like the monopoly on Japanese games on Steam until this year.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing so many games. Now what are they gonna do?
What was that Magical Drop?
Let's not talk about Magical Drop ever again.
Oh.
Well, no. So we could talk about every game but five.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I think that's been an interesting thing this year. Also, we're starting to see some Kickstarter stuff pop up, and that we can talk about FDL there. That these
FDL
games
was a Kickstarter.
Want. Yes.
Yes, that was one of the first ones.
Yeah,
I did not know
the first
that.
Big ones.
Yeah, so we're seeing a lot of. I think generally there were games that are huge that you saw, and games that are really really tiny indie efforts that you saw, mm-hmm. but Kickstarter kind of allows that. Ambitious indie to make it, you know, like this is kind of too much for me to do in my, you know, in my room with my computer. Like we need to budget. So it's interesting to see that kind of stuff pop up.
Yeah, we're also starting to get a lot of European and point and click adventure games on Steam too.
Yep, they decided
and on good old games
at the same
like
time.
Somebody
just got a call like in April, like some German to English translating company, like hey. We got this truck.
Translate everything.
We got this truck full of games. Can you translate these games?
this truck full of digital games.
Yes. It's a digital truck. It's fine.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah, so like, you know, because we got Deponia. We got the sequel to Deponia 2 months later. We got Book of Unwritten Tales. We got the sequel to Book of Unwritten Tales like 3 months later.
Yeah.
They all seem pretty good, though. So yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And we got Edna and Harvey, which was...
Yep, that was another one.
And also good.
Yep.
Botanicula was pretty cool.
Sure. Unmechanical.
Botanicula, yeah.
I have to say, I recommend Edna and Harvey's.
Sea Games. That was fun.
Yeah. The one thing that's really happened this year is Steam sort of exploded from being PC gamer thing to being something that everyone knows about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
especially with the rumors about the Steam box coming up.
Yeah, but also all the indie games coming out on it that
what
were
about,
digital titles and consoles.
Dear
Personally, I think Steam for Linux was one of the biggest stories of the year. That was just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's that's clearly the
I didn't know anyone was actually using that.
Oh, I am. I got in on the beta and Corpus 2 runs even better on Linux than it does on Windows. It's awesome.
I think that's them setting themselves up toward their Steam box. It's like, all right, if we're going to make a console, we're not going to pay for an OS for it.
Mm-hmm.
So run it.
Yeah, I think what they're going to do is they're going to write a custom like Windows interpreter for it that'll allow it to play Windows games without having them being natively ported to Linux. I mean, otherwise, would they have a decent library for the thing at launch?
All they need then is to be able they just need a DirectX API.
Yeah.
And an OpenGL API.
They just need
to have those. They can
Fortress
pretty much run everything.
And that's it. That's. I mean, let's be real, guys. They just need it to run Team Fortress 2.
Pretty much, yeah.
And support hats, and that's really all they got.
Hat box.
Not for me, but for them to make money. That's all they got to do.
Yeah.
For your pre-order of the Steam box, it comes with its own hat.
The hat is the Steam box. You can wear it on your head.
Yes, you can wear the Steam box as a hat.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And in Team Fortress 2, you get a little pink one to put on your head, too.
What if you play Team Fortress 2 on the hat Steam
box?
What if
the Steam box is a hat that you wear and hook up to your TV?
Yeah, and then you play Team Fortress 2 on it, and then you get an in-game hat, and on that hat, your Team Fortress 2 character you're playing as can play a game through Steam on that hat. And
Now
you're just being ridiculous.
They play a game that looks like you sitting in front of TV wearing a stupid hat with a cord on it.
Yeah.
Valve did say they wanted to get into wearable technology, so...
Future, you guys.
Yeah. Infinite hat recursion.
It's all coming together.
One thing I will say about this is there have been rumblings. Greenlight has been a big boon for the service, I think, that allows people to bring it in, but there have been rumblings from that same mid-tier indie that we've been talking about that when they worked so hard to get themselves on Steam, now they have to go through Greenlight for their projects that were already going to be non-Greenlight projects. I think you're going to see some backlash to that next year, where people are like, well...
Yeah, I think Valve has
I've
to work
I've six games in this service. Why are you making me Greenlight my seventh one? I think it makes no sense. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I've avoided Greenlight from the beginning, so...
If you approve like 30 games a month, then maybe that'll be right.
Valve has to work out the whole process when a game goes to Greenlight and when a game just goes through their traditional approval process.
Yeah. Well, if you give the money, then it'd be fine. THQ better go to... If you're looking at their financial situation to see whether they get to use Greenlight or go through the traditional process, THQ better have to go through Greenlight.
Do they have $100? I don't know.
They do.
They do have the bundle.
That was what the Humble Bundle was for.
Oh,
was
good. Right.
Maybe the THQ's janitor can chip in.
So that's how Company of Heroes 2 will be on Steam. Got it.
Yeah.
Greenlight. Okay.
Yeah. Jason Rubin, pay the $100. Anyway.
I hope at least they're able to survive long enough to release all those games they're working on, because they look like great games.
Yeah, they do. I am.
Most of them look like great games.
We shall see.
Yeah. So what haven't we talked about? Let's keep going.
The Vita.
The PlayStation Vita. This is where I get sad.
Well, here's the thing. I don't get sad.
I don't get sad either.
As long as we have Persona 4 Golden, then that's all the Vita will ever need. If the Vita were to die right now, it would still be a worthwhile system just for that one game.
Yes.
I love Persona 4, but...
Yeah, but...
I've never played it.
Also, this year was like a secret good year. You can be really, really gloomy about the future of the Vita, and probably no one's going to make anything for it ever again because no one bought one. But the games that came out this year were pretty great, you guys. Okay, so I'm going to name... Since I'm good at naming stuff...
Yes, please.
I'm going to randomly name stuff you can buy on the Vita. Or just get on the Vita. If you have PlayStation Plus, you automatically get Uncharted Golden Abyss and Wipeout 2048 and Gravity Rush, which you can have mixed opinions about those, but those are all things you should probably experience part of for free.
Yeah, for free, yes. For free.
Yeah, Wipeout was all right. But, okay, so then we
all... I think you talk about Gravity Rush.
Let's not talk about Gravity Rush.
Yes, please.
Yes, no time for that. So Hot Shots was pretty solid on the system.
Yes.
Tales from Space, Mutant Blobs Attack was pretty good.
I like that.
It was excellent, that's what it was.
Yeah. I think Sound Shapes is still best in the Vita. Was where it was designed. It had a pretty great port of Retro City Rampage. You should play with Let's Play.
I promise when I get Retro City Rampage, I'll play the Vita version first.
Okay. It's, you know, as far as Little Big Planet Vita was super good, you guys. Did any of you guys ever play that? I told you all to play it. Did you?
I've
been meaning to.
I'm sorry, Graham. I just don't like Little Big Planet. I just don't think that's going to change my mind.
Fine.
I don't own a Vita?
Yeah. He has an actual
Vita. There are like 7 pinball games in that thing, Chris. I don't understand.
I had 7 pinball games in my 3DS, which we'll talk about next.
Okay. there was a lot of cross-play stuff. PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale was on there. Let's see.
Rayman Origins was on it.
Rayman Origins came out on that system this year.
Yeah, that's a great game on it.
That's the second best Rayman release this year.
Yes.
Sorry, fourth best Rayman release this year. Rayman Jungle Run was actually pretty solid, and that was my initial point, but definitely that pales in comparison to both Rayman Legends demos for the Wii U, the kiosk demo and the real demo. Let's see. What else came out on that system? There are things I'm just clearly forgetting.
Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Liberation came out. Hey, Black Ops Classified.
And Resistance.
And Unit 13.
Unit 13 was okay, actually.
Okay, that's fine.
It killed Zipper, though, but, you know, it was okay.
Yeah, there's a decent port of Disgaea 3 on that thing. That was all right.
The best thing about that Disgaea 3 port is that the cost of the Vita version is less than the cost of all the DLC that comes on the Vita version.
I sold my PS3 version so I could buy that one.
Yep. Okay.
Luminous. Luminous is still great, guys.
That's my good.
I never got into Luminous. I do not know what the big deal is.
And I have a review for you to read. Let me tell you.
Yeah. What site is that review on?
That is on www.snackbargames.com. Yeah, snackbar-games.
What is this strange website of which you speak?
Yeah, don't worry. Nobody reads it. Okay. Some more random Vita releases just because. Dokuro.
Oh, yes. Dokuro, yes.
Orgarhythm, that thing came out.
Little King Story.
Little King Story was all right, except for the frame rate issues. But that's just it's a great game that was plagued by frame rate issues. It's fun. Still a great game.
I believe Virtue's Last Story was on it, or Virtue's Last Reward was on it.
Correct.
Yeah, one of the aforementioned multi-platform games. Okay.
You could play all of those PS1 games on it. Well, you could play some of those PS1 games.
You can play Grillancer Wayfarer of Time on that thing.
Yes, and it looks great on it.
It does.
You can also play Trails in the Sky on it.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I guess you can.
And I will.
I'm sorry. But okay. In terms of like the technology itself, sure. I think the Vita was just like a really cool piece of technology. Just like it's a neat system, and I'm happy with my purchase. I don't know. Maybe I was expecting a miracle and I didn't get it. I don't
DJ
know.
Max Technica Tune came out on that thing.
That's not the miracle. I'm sorry. I'm sure it's great.
You can import a copy of Project Diva F. That's pretty good. It's like Technica Tune, except for there's a mode where you can place Hatsune Miku in real life and take pictures of her making poses.
I've always wanted to do this.
That sounds a lot creepier than I'm sure
it is. It's super creepy, but okay. I don't know.
Isn't that game supposed to maybe come out here? Isn't that?
They showed it off at E3, but then they got really, really silent.
Hey, three of my top 15 games this year were from the Vita.
That's a statistic.
The Vita is a system I bought, and I still own. Oh, wait! Ragnarok Odyssey, that was pretty good. That's actually like one of the Vita games this year that I played that I've actually really liked. So, that's a good one.
Ragnarok Odyssey, pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
3DS.
Okay.
Let's end it on a pretty high note. Decent note.
Well,
that's not as high as
the Vita for me.
Yeah.
It's a note. On a note, yes.
And that note is theater.
That was a sour note.
that note is theater rhythm.
Theater rhythm's pretty cool. I think
I picked that up Sunday and I've been playing it like nonstop for like a week.
The two best, you know, I'm just going to say it, two best 3DS games of the year both had rhythm in the title.
This is true.
As someone who doesn't own a 3DS, mind you,
there's no rhythm in Paper Mario or Professor Layton.
There isn't.
Exactly.
No. Yeah. There's also no rhythm in Kid Icarus. There's no rhythm.
Or Resident Evil.
Right.
Resident Evil Rhythmlation.
Oh, it was Revelations.
Yeah.
Revelations.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Crush 3D. That game came out this year. Did anybody buy that game?
No,
I don't mean on the podcast. I mean, did anyone buy that game?
No.
if you bought that game, comments and let us know.
Yes,
because we really want to know. Crash Mall. That's supposed to be pretty good, right?
Yeah. So eShop had a pretty solid year.
We finally see Nintendo kind of like. Well, I mean, I guess you're talking about indie releases. I was just gonna say Nintendo finally kind of. Embracing downloads of full retail games, which is great.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, we got new Super Mario Brothers 2 also.
We did. That was a game.
That was a game.
No,
you like coins. Do we have a game?
It was a golden release.
No, that's Persona 4.
We
talked about that already.
Yeah. Right. That's the game I've played nothing but that for like 3 weeks now.
Okay. Yeah, so the 3DS, you know, it had some solid releases. I don't think it had that knockout of the park release for everyone that kind of Super Mario 3D Land served to be last year, and I hope we will have something like that next year. But we had a lot of, like, very specific, like, Theatrhythm is very fun for people who like Final Fantasy games. Not maybe so much for people who don't like Final Fantasy games.
Honestly,
I think it was fan service. That's what it was.
Yeah. I think the music also, is good enough to carry it, even if you're not a fan of the series.
No, the
rhythm game itself is
pretty
good, although I'm not a fan of the slide beats.
Yeah. No As one someone is. Who doesn't like Final
no
Fantasy
one's a fan
that
of
much,
the slide beats.
I'll admit that.
Well,
it was
can
a solid
play Kingdom Hearts 3D.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah, that was supposed to be good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, there was a new Harvest Moon game too.
Great. Why are we talking about that game, Sean?
I don't know. Maybe I'll review it for you in January.
Okay.
Yeah, Rhythm Thief based on the demo.
There's no way that's going to be one of the best 3DS games 2012, whether it's a game you like or not. There's no way.
That... I know.
It's not that
bad. I didn't put it on my list.
No, it's not bad. It's not bad. I actually kind of like it, but like in the same sentence as talking about like the best games that... No, probably not. No, it's a Harvest Moon game. It's going to be the same. It's like talking about like a Warriors game. Like, they're sure. That's the same game that it was before.
It will continue to exist.
Yeah. But of course, we are talking about Professor Layton, so...
And not much.
Yeah. That game's also very good, but in a way that is exactly like the other games that were also very good.
Rhythm Thief.
Okay, so if there is a game that is like not going to happen again, and was
that'll be a one-time thing. Yeah.
Rhythm Thief. It's basically... I mean, basically, it's kind of if you take the... like challenges from something like Rhythm Heaven and then put them in a story that's kind of like Layton.
Mm-hmm. I kind of got a maybe this is just me, but just from the demo, I kind of got a Space Channel 5 vibe from some of the mini games.
Some of them are literally Space Channel 5.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, that's probably why. Yeah,
it's probably the same team.
It was
kind of unfortunate for Rhythm Thief to be releasing the week after Theat Rhythm.
Liked Rhythm.
And, like, as a limited, like, only available in a few stores with one copy, and they reduced the price right as it came out, so they really showed a lot of confidence, and that was good. Yeah. So, get Rhythm Thief if you can find it and play it. Trust me.
3DS was good, decent.
Yeah.
Good year.
I have
to start and pick up
steam. Whatever. It's still waiting to get its own Pokemon game that'll really push it to the level it wants to go to, I think.
Limit.
But other than that, I'm not sorry that I picked up my XL this summer. Yeah. I'm actually kind of thankful that they released the XL to give me an excuse to pick up a 3DS in the first place this summer.
While you guys are playing Rhythm Thief, do you ever have to fight against Percy Jackson?
No.
Because that's all I think of when I hear that name.
You have to fight against Tito Jackson.
So I mean, I think coming into this year for like a term looking forward to 3DS releases, I think we're all a little more hopeful than it turned out to be.
Okay, so did we cover all the systems?
Got all the systems. We've covered all of the systems.
Okay, so
and there's lots of games.
To sum up, let's just have in no words and just like a sound. Let's recap. Okay.
What?
Okay.
360. Okay. PS3. Okay. PC. Wii.
Bye.
Wii U.
Yeah, let's go with that.
I love that we all thought of that. Okay, sorry.
Okay, DS.
Num, 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 num.
3DS. Vita.
Huh?
And PSP.
What was that?
Oh, PSP.
I think we've run out of sound effects.
And I hope consoles. So.
Yeah, we will be back before the end of the holidays at the beginning of the year. With our game of the year finalist discussion, but
in that case, I want to drop something real quick before we head out. my finally issued Nintendo Power finally arrived on Friday.
Yeah, I got it yesterday. I just kind of
that last comic.
Yeah,
that was some heartbreaking stuff.
Yeah,
it's
peace, Nintendo Power.
Been a good run.
Yeah.
Way to end it on a
carry
sour
on your
note.
Spirit.
All right.
Now we're all thoroughly depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Chris, Jeff, Sean, Henry, and Andrew, I'm Graham. See you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter at snackbargames.